Today, my dear faithful, is the feast of the purification of Our Lady. And it is also the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, and that is where the proper last gospel of today's Mass will be taken from. Now, the epistle for today's Mass is taken from the book of Malachias, chapter 3. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I send my angel, and he shall prepare the way before my face. And presently the Lord whom you seek, and the angel of the testament whom you desire, shall come to his temple. Behold, he cometh, saith the Lord of hosts. And who shall be able to think of the day of his coming? And who shall stand to see him? For he is like a refining fire, and like the fuller's herb. And he shall sit refining and cleansing the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and shall refine them as gold and as silver. And they shall offer sacrifices to the Lord in justice. And the sacrifices of Judah and of Jerusalem shall please the Lord, as in the days of old, and in the ancient years, saith the Lord Almighty. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, after the days of Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they carried Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male opening the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according as it is written in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was in him, and he had received an answer from the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he also took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. They came to him and await him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And Jesus said to them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Words taken from the gospel of the proper last gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just a few days ago, my dear faithful, was the feast of St. Francis de Sales. Now, St. Francis de Sales is very important to my congregation, the congregation of St. Pius V, as well as to the Daughters of Mary. So I just wanted to speak on him today. Now, St. Francis de Sales was the Bishop of Geneva in the late 16th century. At that time, the city of Geneva was overrun with followers of John Calvin. St. Francis thus devoted himself to converting his flock, these Calvinists, back to the Catholic faith. Through his learning, his arguments, but most especially through his constant kindness and patience, St. Francis won many of these Protestants to the true faith. In fact, at the end of his life, he had converted thousands of Calvinists. In his long battle for souls, St. Francis de Sales won many friends, but also many enemies. One young man was particularly audacious in his hatred of St. Francis. You see, one evening, this young Calvinist went to the home of the bishop, bringing with him his numerous dogs, as well as a number of servants. They gathered outside St. Francis' home, and they could see the bishop sitting at his window, reading a book. To show his contempt for the saint, the young man commanded his dogs to bark and his servants to cry out abominable insults against Saint Francis. This went on for some time. All the while, Saint Francis continued sitting at his window, reading his book and simply ignoring the din outside. The heretic continued making his dogs and the servants cry out insults, but he could see that he was accomplishing nothing, and this infuriated him even more. Finally, he could stand his failure no longer. He marched right to the bishop's front door and opened it. He barged into the house and ran up the steps to the room where St. Francis was sitting so calmly. This brazen young man charged up to the saint himself in his own home and instantly poured forth abuses to St. Francis' face. The great saint, for his part, merely looked at him in silence. His face was unmoved as he calmly stared at the young man who was so violently insulting him. The young man found himself again defeated. Nothing he said, no threat, no insult could move the bishop. He might as well shout at the stone wall, so little did St. Francis de Sales react. At last, the young man had just run out of steam, and so he stood there breathing heavily after his long outburst. He waited for an argument, a response, something, but he met only silence. Unable to bear it anymore, the Calvinist stormed out of the room. The servants of St. Francis then came in. They went to the saint and they asked how he had borne so patiently with such insolence. St. Francis answered, "It is not because I did not feel it, for in my heart I was much tempted to rise up and order him away. But I have long ago made an agreement with my tongue that when my heart is disturbed, it is not to say one word." In this incident, my dear faithful, St. Francis was caught in a tempest, so to speak. That is, a barrage of insults from a tempestuous young man. Hatred hurled every insult imaginable, yet St. Francis sat calmly, waiting for the storm to pass. St. Francis succeeded where the apostles failed in today's proper last gospel, that is, the gospel for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. In this gospel, the apostles were also caught in a storm of water and wind. You see, the apostles were sailing with our Lord in their little fishing boat on the Lake of Galilee, and the boat, at the time, was ready to capsize. Wave after wave washed over the sides of the boat, filling it with water and weighing it down until it was almost ready to sink. The apostles, many being experienced fishermen, struggled against the winds and the waves, but to no avail. They saw that the crashing waves would soon bring the boat down, and that they would be lost amidst the raging waters, and possibly lose their lives. And all the while, in the back of the boat, our Savior slept. Throughout this great tempest, Christ slept as if nothing was wrong. Finally, seeing nothing else to do, the apostles awakened our Lord, shouting over the crashing waves, "Lord, save us, we perish." Immediately, our Lord awoke, turned to the apostles and asked, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he stood and commanded the winds and waters to be still. And in an instant, all became calm and quiet. Our Lord then rebuked the apostles because they had actually failed in a number of ways. They failed to realize Christ's power, to trust Him and His love for them, and to have patience in the storms of life. At another time, our Lord told the apostles, "In your patience you will possess your souls." By patience, man possesses his soul, because as theologians define it, patience is that virtue which inclines man to endure evils so that he may not be oversaddened at them. These evils are the sufferings of life. They are the storms that we must endure. Sometimes they are physical, such as sickness, pain, or danger, as in the case of the apostles in today's Mass. At other times, they are what are called moral evils, as in the case of St. Francis de Sales in the story I just told before. Some moral evils are temptation, loss of reputation, or insults. When we suffer an evil, whatever kind, we are naturally saddened at it. For example, when we are insulted, we feel hurt and we naturally recoil from it. Nature would tell us to put an end to this insult, whether by fleeing from it or by returning the insult with another. The virtue of patience, on the other hand, keeps our nature in check and thus keeps us in control. We then bear sorrow for the love of Christ, who willingly bore so many sufferings for the love of us. Patiently, then, we can continue doing what we ought, whether practicing some virtue or avoiding some vice, no matter the storm that surrounds us. Instead of acting like the apostles and giving up persevering through the storm, we must imitate St. Francis, calmly weathering the tempest. And what is so important to remember is that it will be a struggle. The virtue of patience does not mean not having feelings of impatience. The feelings of impatience will arise, but it is what we do with them that is where the virtue lies. As I said before, our Lord told the apostles, "In your patience you shall possess your souls." And just before this, He also forewarned them of the trials ahead. "You shall be betrayed," He told them, "betrayed by your parents and brethren and kinsmen and friends, and some of you they will put to death. And you shall be hated by all men for my name's sake." What sorrows, terrors, and anguish such storms as these would cause. Being hated for doing good. Being betrayed even by your own family. And even facing death itself. Yet for the sake of Christ, these are the crosses we may have to carry. And the virtue of patience is the only way to carry these crosses well. That is why St. Francis de Sales sat so quietly, answering nothing to that brazen young man who barged into his home to insult him directly to his face. The storm raged on around the saint, but he kept himself contained for the love of God. He patiently waited for the storm to end, for he knew that God allowed this for a greater good. The Almighty God had provided St. Francis with this opportunity to practice magnanimous patience, to prove his sanctity, and to be a supreme example of this virtue. He earned merit for himself, edified his servants, and gave the Calvinist an unanswerable argument without saying a single word. In all these ways, a cross carried patiently can earn such merit. It turns insults into gold, gold by which we can pay for our own sins and for the sins of others. Strive then, my dear faithful, to imitate St. Francis de Sales' patience in the storms of life. I'm sure that every day you will have some kind of storm in your life, whether they are merely tempests in a teapot, or they are great trials that, like a tornado, throw your entire life into disorder. Bear these crosses well and put it to you. Offer them up for some particular intention. Having a particular end in view helps us to focus on, to give you something to hold on to, that is something to fix your mind on instead of the trouble when the storm is raging. It gives you a goal to attain. Some intentions are offering up your crosses to our Savior, in gratitude for his carrying his cross for you. Or in honor of the Blessed Mother, as a gift to her in return for all the love that she has shown you. Or you may offer up your crosses for something that is a little closer at hand. That is, for your loved ones to help win graces, so that they will be able to bear their crosses, or the grace to help them to save their souls. One intention that I would especially ask you to keep in mind is to sacrifice for our country. Who knows what the future holds for the United States? Right now, we have a greater hope, but one thing is certain. America needs prayer and sacrifice to win grace for her leaders to lead our country well. Let your merits help win those graces for our country. But whatever intention you choose, carry your crosses for the love of our God, just as our Lord carried his cross for love of you. In this way, you will earn merit for your loved ones, for yourselves, and for our country. Remember our Lord's words, "In your patience you will possess your soul," and you will be able to persevere in carrying your crosses, so that one day you will possess the happiness of heaven for all eternity. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.